This episode is brought to you by KPMG Risk Services. KPMG believes that when you've earned the trust of all your stakeholders, that's when your business has a solid platform to grow. That's the trusted imperative. KPMG Risk Services develop and put in place dynamic risk strategies designed to help your business earn that all-important trust. Go to read.kpmg.us/trust to learn more.
Hey, this is Randy Gage, and you're listening to the Power Prosperity Podcast.
Hey, sameness creates comfort. Difference creates opportunity. So let's talk about that. And we're going to take a little detour. Let me make sure I've got my camera set up right. Where am I at? I'm on the wrong screen. Where we are. Okay. How's the light? How do I look? Do I look marvelous today? You all look marvelous, darling. Marvelous. Check in. Say, you know, let me know who you are, where you're watching from. Please check in on the comments and text a friend and tell them about the service we do here every Saturday. This is the Prosperity Unchurch. We get together every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. For a for-profit prosperity ministry. It's not a church. It's not a religion. I just present a lesson each week on the principles of prosperity, generosity, and free enterprise. And Paula Zaragoza, the world-renowned author of the book, How to Be a Bulletproof Woman, is my hostess with the mostess, who's taking care of the Zoom room for you guys today, along with volunteer efforts from Jorge Melendez and Jose Lopez in Colombia. And they actually, those two guys, do a Spanish version of this every week, a couple hours after this one. So check the, if you have Spanish friends who are looking for more prosperity in their life, check the chat room and they'll put the details in there. So we're going to talk about creating a talent catalog for abundance, meaning some things you can learn to do that will help your ability to earn money and just create more prosperity in all areas of your life. And I'm warning you right now, we're going to focus on some basic first principles of how prosperity is created, which we try to, I try to go back to them every few lessons because I think they're really important. And we're going to take a little detour just for a little bit. And I want to talk about cryptocurrencies and particularly NFTs, non-fungible tokens, for you guys who are following that. And I'm just going to talk for a couple of minutes about those, but because I think, I feel like I need to do a whole lesson about cryptocurrencies and NFTs. So I might change the topic and do that next week. But if not, I think I'm going to do it in 2 weeks because I think there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of misconceptions going on in that space. That are going to not only not allow people to manifest the prosperity that they're seeking with those things, but may actually be very dangerous to your prosperity because of the misconceptions about them, because of how people view them in terms of a wealth creation medium or a wealth creation platform. But I want to start with the homework from last week because we were talking about creating a mastermind and we were talking about this, the people that you allow to speak into your life. And we talked about relationships, marriage, social media, your Facebook feed, your Twitter timeline, who you're following on TikTok, all of that stuff. And so your homework was, and I'm looking for a volunteer or two. So if you would put the hand up in the little box, just wave if you're willing to do that. Before we do, the homework is decide who is in your sacred circle. Redo or reevaluate, redo your social media timeline. Meaning go and really, you know, look at who's there and do you need to unfollow some people? And then I asked you to create at least two meta masterminds. Like I kind of have a meta mastermind of authors that I can bounce ideas off of for my next book. I have a meta mastermind of other speakers in the Speaker Hall of Fame that I could bounce around ideas if I want to do have an idea for a new keynote or a workshop or something. So volunteers, please put your hands up. I love to see Mr. Jedi Bob Berg is in the house. Good to see you there. Mary Ellen is back as always. Yes, there's the Jedi Berg. And Jitty, who's there every single week, has never missed an episode, I don't think. Gabrielle is in the house. Okay. Come on, who's a volunteer? Be brave. I see Brandon, but Brandon he volunteers every week. I don't want to overwork him. There's no one else who wants to share your truth about doing the homework last week. All right, so Brandon, I'm gonna come back to you.
Randy Gage, good morning to you, sir.
You're on the clock every week, aren't you?
Hey, buddy. I am the one. You are the one too, and you are in my meta mastermind. And I'm just telling you that because everything that happened to me, I keep getting breakthroughs constantly now, in the moment. Now, you're in the meta mastermind. I know, and as far as my personal mastermind, and one of them, it's weird because it says like the family, I'm thinking my wife and my daughter, right? That's what I have. Mm-hmm. My daughter is more open than my wife. Like what's happening to me now is like my wife is kind of going crazy with what's going on with me. I can't shut up about it. You know, I can't. She wants me to stop talking about it. I can't, because from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, and I just can't help myself. But I'm talking to my daughter, and I've got my daughter. She's going to be perfect in this. She's like a psychologist, right? And that might be her calling. I think it's in the cards. Psychology's in the cards for her. But I told her the other day, would you mind if you just, you know, be my psychologist? It's like, can you just sit and talk with me? Like, and I'm talking about when we're playing like Halo, you know, maybe we'll stop playing Halo for a little bit. I'll stop maybe 5 minutes. We agreed on the time. She gave me 15 minutes. Yeah. You know, I love her so much. But I said 5 minutes, she bumped it up to 15. I said 10, she said 15. Okay, I'll go 15. So we're going to do that. And it's my philosophy on life. And that's part of who's in my power circle. Now the timeline thing, that's interesting. That's very interesting, because I'm doing this thing on my Facebook. And it's like what you said, unfollow the people in your timeline that's not bringing you value. Now, here's the thing, Randy. I just came up with this breakthrough just by you talking in the moment when you introduced or reminding us about the homework. You can unfollow people, yes. But my whole belief, Randy, now, and it's my belief, it's true. It's true for me. Might be true for everyone. It's true for me. And you can unfollow if you want. But if you unfollow somebody, that's like, okay, maybe it's a mistake, right? But is there a mistake? Is there a mistake? Now, you can do that way. Yeah, maybe you should. If it's in your heart, you do it. Do follow your heart. Don't listen to what I'm saying. I'm even going to say this, but I hate to say it. Don't even follow what you're saying. Like, but see, what you say is truth. You have to find the truth in what you say. The truth is inside. So when I listen to you, I can hear myself saying, he's speaking my words. Like, you're speaking my language. And that's where I'm at with you. Like, you are my mentor. Like, you are, like, we're gonna be close, Randy, like so close that last time you said, and I know you said this, I know you were talking to me, whether you know it or not, you said, you got dropped the hint. I know how you work, Randy. I know how you work. It's kind of like Jesus. You put, I'm not saying you're Jesus, but you're close, man. No, I'm not saying you're Jesus though. But hold on, Randy. last time you kind of mentioned, hey, okay, I'm doing these little seminars down here. If anybody wants to come, you know, hey, you can always reach out and hey, and you know, give me value for value, you know, and buddy, I'm with you. I need to be at your speaking seminar. You got answers. You got the keys to this. Whatever's happened to me, it happened to me right along with your book. And I remember when I first called in, I said you came out with your book right on my freaking birthday. And it was my 40th birthday. And Randy, give me a boundary here because my philosophy does encompass boundaries. So I need you, yeah, just jump in if I get too much. So Bob, well, you keep
so,
it short.
So let's I'm honored by your comment.
Yes, sir.
You will your head will explode at the speaker.
Oh my God. I mean,
come to that.
See, it's like really, so exciting.
Oh, yeah, yes. That's an amazing, amazing event. There's
oh my five God.
Events I do.
I'm there. I'm totally, I don't know how I'm going to be there, but I'm there, Randy. And I just want to volunteer. I could pay for it. I want to pay you for it. But see, I want to do what you said, because you said it. I want to volunteer my time because I do value myself. I mean, I'll get myself down there. But I would love to volunteer my time for you, Randy, and the whole ministry that you got going on here, love, and just get down there and help you and just be around you. I mean, I would love to, and beyond the people that you have with you, because everyone, the way I view now, everybody is like a Randy Gage to me now. Everybody, like there's wisdom in everything, even ants. Now, ant, like even the mundane stuff, but everything has a meaning, and to be with you, is like
all right. All right. Well, you make that happen. All right.
Hey, buddy.
And
okay.
So that'll be my boundary. I'm gonna mute
sure.
you now.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that boundary. Love you, Randy.
thanks for sharing again. So just building on what Brandon is saying, the people on Facebook, the people on Twitter, TikTok, wherever you're following them, I don't think it is a mistake. I think you're right in the wheelhouse there, Brandon. But what will happen is as your prosperity consciousness grows, there will be people who were appropriate for you to follow 3 years ago that are no longer appropriate because your consciousness has grown. And what I see happening, for you guys saw the blog I wrote about this fictional social media network I created that I had in my blog last week. If you want to read it, Jorge, would you put a link in the chat for that? How to be the next tech billionaire post, please. I talked about the kind of social network that would work right now. And I posited that the next big thing will be something along those lines of what I called shade with two A's, that it's a network just for throwing shade on people. And I think you see, if you look at like, what are the top Facebook posts, the top 10 every day, there are all these controversial political us versus them pages that throw shade on the other side. So there's liberals ones and there's right-wing ones. And those are the biggest followed things. And I think you see that's true on every platform. And what I see developing are people who become, you know, I talk about professional victims. They become professional virtue signalers on social media, meaning they post 5 posts a day about how evil, mean, stupid, racist, misogynistic, sexist, whatever some other public figure is. And of course, they're so virulent with this and so constant. And it's just so irritating if you're a person of consciousness that if you're following someone like that, you just get to a point, you say, I don't even want to follow, you know, I don't want all this negativity in my timeline every day. So you mute them or you unfollow them. And then of course, the people who love that shit, they give them reinforcement. Yeah, that's right. You know, so if they're, and I, you know, I got a friend who's a crazy, you know, Trump derangement syndrome. He would post 5 anti-Trump things every day. Right. And so, of course, the Trump people unfollowed him and his friends who hated Trump as much as he does. They give him reinforcement every day. And so without even knowing it, he morphed into a professional Trump bashing Facebook. That was his job, right? Obviously, he has a job. He works in an office where somewhere or at home and nobody follows what he's doing. And he can spend hours a day on this. And you see the same thing with Hillary bashers or people who hate Joe Biden or whatever. You see it on both sides, right? Where they're just virtual signaling all day long, and they develop this identity. And remember, we talked about in the lesson last week how when we assign labels to ourselves, it's like a volunteer lobotomy, because we're turning off that part of our brain which has discernment and critical thinking skills, because we're identifying that we are the number one anti-Hillary person on Facebook, or we're the number one anti-Marco Rubio person on Facebook. And, you know, those are U.S. politicians, but you guys around the world, you know, you can translate it into whoever the public figures are in your country. It's the same exact concept. So 3 years ago, you may have been like you bought into all that stuff. But as your consciousness evolved, you just realized, you know, and you could do it even for noble causes, right? You might be a big supporter of anti-animal cruelty, saving the rainforest, or climate change, you know, protecting the planet. But if all you're doing is 5-6 strident posts every day telling everybody else how horrible they are because they don't meet your standards, you know, that gets old really quick. When you're there in the frothiness of the venom, you love it. But when you start to move toward enlightenment, as you start to become a higher consciousness human being, you just say, even though I know their heart is in the right place, the way they're presenting this is just, it's not healthy energy for me. So I need to unfollow them. And of course, the big, big issue that we were working with last week, and it's very relevant to this week, is that there are people in your physical timeline, people you work with, people you're related to, people you're married to, that you have to recognize, wow, I'm getting this person is really producing a toxic energy in my life. And I may need to reduce or eliminate the time that I'm spending with them. You know, I look at one of the biggest breakthroughs in my prosperity and path to enlightenment was I was like 16 years old, and I said, I'm going to move to Miami. And I had old beat up Plymouth, and I packed everything I could fit in that, and I moved down to here to Miami. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a place to live. I didn't know a single person down here, but I had a dream to live somewhere warm in the wintertime with palm trees and balmy breezes and sandy beaches. And I came down here. But the secret sauce in that was it got me away from my circle of family and friends who were, for the most part, professional victims. And putting that 1,500 miles between me and them allowed my prosperity consciousness to unfold. So that was a really big deal for me. So some of you are in toxic relationships, some of you are in abusive relationships. So you have to really think that through. So that was part of this. When we talk about this power circle you create, the masterminds you create, the meta masterminds you create, it's who are you allowing to speak into your life? Okay, let's get into this talent catalog that I've talked about. I'm calling this lesson the talent catalog for abundance. This is inspired by, in one of Scott Adams' book, he talks about a concept that he called talent stacking. And I immediately was enamored with the idea because as I looked at my own life, I realized, wow, that was a big part of my success is I did that. I'm not the world's best writer. I'm not the world's best speaker. I'm not the world's best critical thinker. I'm not the world's best whatever. But I've put together a melange of talents that taken as a whole have allowed me to manifest a lot of prosperity in my life. And so I took this stacking idea, and then I want to go a little further when I say we're going to make a catalog, because I'm going to introduce something that I call eulogy talents, meaning talents that people are going to talk about when they give your eulogy. So we're going to get into that. But first, we've got to talk about the foundational premises. How is wealth created? And my work is really geared around three of these areas. Because, excuse me, bear with me. I actually have had a flu for the last 2 days, and it can't be COVID. I had COVID. I've had the vaccination, both of them. I've been feeling great, but I feel like I got like a regular flu the last 2 days. So I've rebounded. I feel 1,000% better today, but I got a little residual from that. So maybe it's like a 24-hour flu or 48 hours or something. So my work, though, I have posited that there are three ways that we create prosperity, because I believe prosperity is created by value for value exchanges. When you look at my work, when you look at Bob Berg work, Bob is in the chat today. We're both have philosophical inclinations toward libertarianism. We believe that people are big kids. They can make their own choices. We don't like to see entitlement. We like to, and Bob, if I'm distorting any of your positions, you correct me in the chat or, you know, whatever, right? Thanks. You know, we feel like, oh, hey, you know, you can become success. You know, he's co-authored this whole series of books called the Go-Giver series, right? And it's based on these principles that you add value to the equation. We just don't go out and say, give me, give me, give me. I need. You have lots of money. You don't need it. I need money. You should give me some of your money. That's a very poverty conscious viewpoint. And there are a couple billion people on the planet who have that. One of the reasons I started this prosperity service every Saturday is because I used to have that philosophy. And now my philosophy is, hey, how do you create value for the universe? Because if you create value, the universe will reward you with prosperity. You notice I don't charge any money for this, a fixed amount. We do this on a love offering basis because I don't want to do it for free. And I don't want to say, hey, I'm just doing this for free. No, I'm saying, hey, I'm going to model the principles that I'm teaching. I model the principle of, hey, if you add value, the universe will reward you with good. So I have, you know, right now we got about 2,500 people that participate in the lesson each week, either live on the Zoom, watch the replay on Facebook. We put up Monday nights and I rerun it on my Power Prosperity podcast. We put it up every Monday morning. So I put it out there and say, hey, if this lesson adds value to you, then support the work. So I can do this every week and continue to do it. We can grow it. And then there'll be 10,000 people every Saturday and then 50,000 people every Saturday. And maybe one day we'll have 2 million people every Saturday. But I'm modeling the principle of value for value. So the three mechanisms that I say, I believe, and my work is built around is that prosperity is created, number one, by solving problems. Number two, by adding value. Or number three, envisioning possibilities. So when you solve problems for people, most of them, the ones with prosperity consciousness, will want to reward you for solving their problem. So if you have excruciating nerve pain going down your back and you're like, you barely stand, and then you go to a chiropractor and she adjusts you and the pain goes away, you're so happy to pay for her, you know, fee for the session. If you go and you have an amazing Thai massage for 90 minutes, you're happy to pay that therapist who did such a great job creating that relaxation for you. You should have that for your yoga teacher, for your dentist, for your doctor, for the people who serve you at the grocery store, the waiter or waitress who takes care of you. This is they're, you know, you're hungry, you don't have any food in the house, or you don't feel like cooking. So you go down the street here from me and you go to OG Cafe. Well, that waitress who takes care of you, she solved your problem. So you should recognize her with the tip that you provide her, right? We reward people for solving problems. So I've always maintained nobody ever really has a money issues. Nobody has a money shortage. What you have is an idea shortage. Because if you think of a way to solve a problem, you got an elderly neighbor and they don't have the strength to mow their lawn anymore. If you will mow their lawn for them, you're adding value. If they use shovel snow in their driveway and their sidewalk, you're adding value. If you babysit for someone, you're adding value. If you drive for Uber or Lyft or Uber Eats or DoorDash or Grubhub, you're adding value, right? So we solve problems, first one. Second one is we add value. As you can see, those two are very often intertwined. So anytime you can add value to someone or something, because it doesn't have to be a person, right? You could add value to Tesla Motor Company. If you show them how they could procure taillights for the Tesla coupes and save $2 a car, that's worth a lot of money to Elon Musk. So he would want to reward you for adding value. If you can show how to make the assembly line go 8% faster, that literally will save him millions or tens of hundreds of millions of dollars in cost. So he would be willing to, in exchange for the value you created, to reward you for that. So this is true of, Safari pop up here. I need to close. Okay. So I can see all you beautiful people out there. Whether your chain of local dry cleaners, a restaurant, everybody's looking for, everybody has problems they need solved, or systems, processes, procedures that if you could add value, they would be willing to share that with you. And then the third possibility I like to always throw in, because it's kind of a little distinct, which is to envision possibilities. And the idea behind this is you think of something that maybe the market didn't even think of yet. When Steve Jobs brought out the iPad for Apple the first time around, he envisioned something that nobody thought about. Right. Somebody asked him during the launch, one of the journalists said, hey, did you do focus groups before you came out with the iPad? And he said, no, we never do focus groups. It's not our customer's job to know what they want next. Right. And there's a lot of genius in that. He recognized, hey, my job as an entrepreneur is to think about what the client wants before they know they want it. Right. So people had laptops, people had smartphones. Nobody thought, well, what we really need is something in the middle. I mean, nobody with an Apple phone was saying, hey, I need a 12-inch version of this phone, you know? And nobody with a laptop said, well, I want to get half a laptop where I could just carry around the screen and tap on the buttons. But Jobs and the brilliant people at Apple, they thought of that. They envisioned a possibility. And because, and it was the kind of possibility that once people saw it, they wanted to have one, right? So that's a little different than the solving problem and adding value, but again, very intertwined. So somebody like me who speaks for a living and takes a lot of airplane flights, and I know, okay, I'm flying to Colorado tonight. I'm going to do a speech in the morning at 9 a.m. I'll be done at 10:30. At 1 o'clock, I'm going to be flying home back to Miami. I don't want to carry my laptop. If I could carry just this little iPad, and that way I could check my email and I could write a little something on one of my Word documents on the plane or something, that would add value to my life. So that's why I bought, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 different iPads since they came out. He envisioned a possibility that wasn't a problem that I knew that I had. But once I saw what he envisioned, I was like, dude, I need one of those. So this is where I want to take a little detour and talk about cryptocurrency and NFTs. And again, a really quick detour. Let me see, Mr. Clock, if it's my friend. Okay, we're looking good at time-wise. I'm actually going to do a whole lesson on this at some point in the next couple of weeks. But let's talk about it in the context of today's lesson. Full disclosure, I made a lot of money buying Bitcoin. I bought Bitcoin when it was $40 and change, and I sold all but one when it was $14,040 and change. And I didn't have 2 or 3. I had a lot. So I made a lot of money with Bitcoin. So I need to disclose that up front, that I profited from Bitcoin. I want that on the record. I have some other cryptocurrencies that I bought in different contexts. One is a token that is for a company that is trying to re-engineer browsers and things like that. So there, I didn't buy them as currencies per se, but I bought them because I believed in the value that the company could possibly create. And that was how they were taking investment. But for the most part, cryptocurrencies are simply what they're meant to be, is a form of exchange. So a Bitcoin is a digital version of the US dollar, the Japanese yen, the euro, rubles, pesos, and other fiat currencies. There are some distinctions. Cryptocurrency has a finite amount, where a fiat currency like the US dollar, they can just keep printing more and more. And they could do that to the point where the currency becomes worthless, as you currently see in Venezuela right now. If we look at the US dollar, we had a $2 trillion bailout package under President Trump. President Biden proposed another almost $2 trillion bailout package for infrastructure. And then the other night, he proposed another almost $2 trillion. So we're talking about $6 trillion of printed money, which has nothing, no, there's no store of value attached to it. And it's money that the United States doesn't have. It's just borrowing money from thin air and hoping that it will reappear somewhere down the road. So this is the biggest, really, I think I'm safe in saying, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong in the chat, but I believe this would be the biggest deficit spending any country has ever done anywhere. I don't think anyone has ever borrowed this much money with no collateral, just in the hopes that, you know, stimulus will somehow pay for itself. I may be wrong, but I believe it's the most. But even if it's not, it's a crazy amount, right? So, but I'm not, I don't, I'm not doing any new investments in Bitcoin and Dogecoin or any of these other ones. And I'm really against NFTs, the way they're currently constructed, non-fungible tokens, NFTs. Now, why is that? Because they're not really adding value. So if you buy Bitcoin now, I don't know what it was at. Last time I looked, it was like 63,000, right? So whatever it is, let's say it's 60K for one Bitcoin. If you buy a Bitcoin today for $60,000, you're buying it because you hope it will go up to 70,000 or 80,000, right? Or crazy people think it's going to go to half a billion per Bitcoin, right? McAfee believes that. So there's nothing inherently wrong, immoral, or unethical about that. It's no different than if you invest in foreign, in Forex, foreign exchange, and you're betting that the yen will go up or the ruble will go down, the dollar will go up or the euro will go down. But just know that's really just sophisticated gambling. And I think sophisticated might not be the right word. It's just, it's more socially acceptable gambling, right? If Tesla said, we're going to take $1 billion and we're going to Las Vegas and we're going to bet it on the blackjack wheel to see if we get double zero, people would say they're crazy and they would try to, get Elon out of there. But when he says, I'm going to take $1 billion and I'm going to invest it in Bitcoin, people say, oh, that's a shrewd guy. He's a smart guy. He's hedging his bets for the future. And he is a smart guy. He is a shrewd guy. And very likely that Bitcoin investment that Tesla make is going to be positive for their profitability. Very good chance of that. Just like I think, I almost bought some Bitcoin again yesterday because I was looking, I have a particular stock that I'm looking at, that I own, that has been going up and it's the subject of a lot of shorts right now and the value is bouncing up. And I was thinking, I was just telling my friend Art, hey, if it goes to this amount, I'm going to sell it and buy Bitcoin with it. Because that was my default setting because, I see where Bitcoin is going. But then I just said, no, I don't want to do that because Bitcoin isn't adding any value. And we can argue it's a very negative value because of the amount of electricity for all cryptocurrencies right now. Crazy, crazy. If you saw it, Seth Godin wrote a brilliant blog on this a couple of weeks ago about the, to me, I just feel like it would be like if you tell me, okay, we have this amazing water. This water is going to make you play softball better because we have these magical electrolytes in it that are going to help you. Okay, great. I want to buy this bottle of water because I want those electrolytes. But the analogy to me would be, now, by the way, when you buy this bottle of water, there's 24 other empty plastic bottles that we're going to manufacture to get that one. And we're going to throw those in a landfill somewhere. But this bottle has the magic water. And then the other 24 are just the cost of doing business. And they're going to be sitting in a landfill, leaching toxins into the water table. Now, I may buy this one because I can carry it with me to the field and I'm going to make sure I put it in the recycling bin. But I wouldn't buy that water if I felt it was going to be 25 extra bottles that are going to poison the planet. And yes, you can beat me up and say, I shouldn't even have that one. You know, if you want a virtual signal, put it in the chat, right? That's how I feel about Bitcoin. Like I can't keep buying anymore because I don't feel it's not producing any value. I invest in companies, right? I invest in the companies because I believe that the leadership team and the mission provides value to the universe. And because I think that product or service provides value, I believe it's a good investment for me. I don't check my investments every day. I don't check my investments every week. I don't even check them every month. When I buy a stock, I buy that stock because, and I don't buy very much stock. I'm not a big believer in the stock market because, again, I think it's a little more like sophisticated form of gambling. But I, when I do, I expect to own it for 5 years or 50 years because I just say, I think this is a product or service that really brings value to the universe. And so by investing in this company, it's going to be a solid return on my investment because the ultimate goal, the ultimate result is very prosperous for the world. So I don't see that in cryptocurrencies right now. And I particularly am vehement that I don't see it in NFTs right now. So the way the NFTs are constructed right now, this will change. But right now it is, okay, so if Bob Berg says, I'm going to auction my next tweet, and you're going to have the digital version of that tweet, and you're the only person in the world who will have the digital version of that tweet. If Bob does that tomorrow, I promise you somebody will pay at least $1,000 for it. And maybe he's got some rabid raving fan that would pay $10,000 for it, right? I get in DMs every day. Hey, you want to make one of your videos NFT? You want to make one of your tweets NFT? You know, you want to create this? You know, can we take a screenshot of this and make an NFT? I'm not doing any of that stuff because there's no value there. This is, that market is going to collapse like crazy. There are people paying $5,000, $50,000. I mean, there's people paying millions of dollars for a digital crypto kitty that, I mean, just crazy shit, right? I get that people will make a lot of money with that. I have a friend, here's what he did. Somebody was asking about Dogecoin and he was talking about the Robinhood app. So he said, let me show you how it works. He pulls up his Robinhood app and he buys a couple of bucks worth of Dogecoin to say, see how it is? Now it's in my Robinhood account. So he sent me a screenshot the other day. The Dogecoin he bought turned into $15,000. So he took the $15,000, turned it back into US dollars, and then he bought $15,000 worth of stock, 5,000 each in three companies that he thinks are a good thing, right? So I get you have people in your Facebook timeline right now, people in your Signal chats and your Telegram chats that are telling, oh my God, I made this much on Dogecoin. Oh my God, I made this much on an NFT. I bought this NFT of this and it was 2 cents when I bought it and it's worth $2,000 now. I get it. I'm not saying that people won't make money from it. I'm saying there are people at a blackjack table in Las Vegas right now that are betting on 00 and it's going to come in 00. But there's no value created for that. It's gambling. It's betting, will this go up or will this go down? So I'm not virtue signaling you and telling you not to do it. I'm telling you, I don't think that's a way wealth is created long term. But there will be a lot of people who make a lot of money, but there will be a lot more people who lose a lot more money. And it's for that reason. So I'm bringing that up today. That's all I'm going to say on it. I'm not going to go any deeper down that rabbit hole because, again, I want to do a separate show just on that. But notice it doesn't really fit the criteria. We're saying, does this solve a problem? Does it add value? It does envision some possibilities. And what I also need to say before I close on that subject is I very much believe in the blockchain concept. And that's why I bought Bitcoin initially. If you read my Risky is the New Safe book, you know I was one of the first people in the world talking about blockchains and cryptocurrencies. And that's why I invested in them at very low prices, because the blockchain is absolutely here to stay. And the other thing that you're going to see with NFTs is that technology was developed to create smart contracts or digital contracts, contracts that can allow artists to get paid royalties on content they create or art that they produce. So these things will become value-adding equations in the future. They will solve problems, and they are even now. But I'm saying the way they're being marketed right now, the way people are investing in them right now, are very much anti-prosperity. So why did I share all that? Well, that's one of my talents in my catalog. I have a talent of critical thinking, and I like to question premises. So when all the mania was happening with Bitcoin, I say, is this really new value being created for the universe, or is this FOMO, fear of missing out? And I say, I think it's pretty much mostly fear of missing out. When I look at all the hysteria about NFTs, and I look at the pro athletes that I respect who are now offering NFTs, and the social media influencers I respect who are now developing NFTs, I say, there's a lot of shit coming out that's going to hurt a lot of people. This is not adding value. This is more fear of missing out. Oh, my favorite rapper has an NFT. It's coming out May 11th. I got to get in early on the auction, and it's going to go up in value. What is the value being created for the universe there? That's a skill of thinking process. And again, don't get me wrong, there will be people who make a lot of money, but I'm saying a lot more people are going to get hurt because they don't have the talent of critical thinking. So go back to this catalog. How did I become successful? I developed a talent of critical thinking. And believe me, I did not have that 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And I didn't go to college. I didn't graduate from high school. So this isn't something that you need the education system to provide for you. Everybody in the world has the resources available to them today to develop critical thinking skills. This should be of all the talents that you want to work on, all the talents you want to develop. I believe that number one in terms of business skills, business talent, analytical stuff, entrepreneurial stuff is the ability for critical thinking. The second talent that I developed was writing. I was very blessed because I was a reader as a kid. I loved to read. And because I loved to read, I developed this passion that I wanted to learn to write. So again, I didn't learn to write because I was working with English teachers in high school or English professors in college. I didn't have the benefit of that. I just loved great books, and I wanted to be able to write a great book myself. So I created a learning curriculum for myself of how to become a better writer. So I've written 14 books now. They've sold a few million copies. They've been sold in published in 25 or 26 different languages. My latest book, Radical Rebirth, is a monster hit in Iran, in Turkey, in Germany. Or is that somewhere else? We've got another couple countries where it's just monster hit. And just being done in Chinese and Korean and, you know, all kind of languages around the world. That's my 14th book. I feel like I didn't develop my writer's voice until my 10th book. Jorge knows. Jorge's in my author apprentice program, and he'll tell you, I told those guys, I've written 14 books, and I feel like I didn't really learn how to write a book and really have my author voice until my 10th book, right? So this is a skill that I've been working on for most of my life. And the third talent that has in my catalog that has been so beneficial for me is speaking. You know, I'm a professional speaker. I'm not a public speaker. I'm a professional speaker. I get paid to speak. Companies pay me a lot of money to do a keynote to open their convention or close their convention, or people pay me a lot of money to come to a public seminar and spend a couple of days with me. Like this speaker school that Brandon was talking about. I have that coming up in June or July. I can't remember when, but it's on my website if you're interested. That's a really valuable talent, because all of us, even if you're never going to want to be a professional speaker, the ability to convey your thoughts in a compelling way is one of the most valuable skills on the planet. The greatest teachers, the greatest professors, the greatest YouTubers, the greatest political leaders, the greatest leaders of change, agents of change, they're great at speaking. They have a talent for conveying their message in an articulate way. And I think writing is even better than speaking, in terms of writing forces you to develop this third talent of mine, the critical thinking. I believe a lot of the reason my critical thinking skills got honed to such a high degree is because I've written those 14 books. So what I've seen is I can do a speech and crush it, right? There's 9,000 people in a bullfighting arena in Panama, and I'm doing the keynote speech, and they give me a standing ovation, and they're clapping and cheering, and they think it's the greatest speech they ever heard. And meanwhile, I'm back in the green room, and I'm saying, oh my God, I forgot to do that third point about such and such. I can't believe I forget, you know, oh, I started to tell the story of ABC, but I forgot to tell them what happened 2 months after that, right? So I'm beating myself up, being my worst critic in the green room, because it's not apparent to the audience, but if I really process it as a critical thinker, I know, well, I forgot to anchor that point, or I forgot to tie this together. Some things you need to just tie a bow on them, right? Whereas in a book, you can't get away with that. When you have to write it, it just jumps off the page. So you can take in a brilliant speech and write it down and realize, ooh, it's not a great book, because there are some places where I jumped the shark here, where the logic doesn't follow. Like Bob, who I mentioned, you know, if he's got a long blog, or I've got a long blog, or he's working on a book, or I'm working on a book, we'll send it to each other and say, hey, will you just look, you know, is this following the logic, or did I jump the track at some point? Writing forces you to think at a higher level. So I want you to think about here's the talent catalog concept, is that 1 + 1 = 3. And 1 + 1 + 1 = 5. And 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 = 10 or 12. It's very similar to what we talked about last week with the power of the mastermind. So we say, if Julio gets together with Maria, those two minds working together for one common goal create a third greater mind, the mastermind. And what I'm suggesting is your talents in your catalog create a synergy and have a more powerful effect than they would have by themselves. So that's the power of it. So the concept is, you say, okay, who is the greatest basketball player in the world? Is it LeBron? Is it Steph Curry? Is it, Kevin Durant? Whoever? You probably don't have a shot to be the best basketball player in the world. You know, who is the greatest poet? Is it Maya Angelou? Is it Amanda? What's the girl who's Amanda, the girl who spoke at the inauguration? You know, who's the greatest entrepreneur? Is it Elon or Branson or Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates? You know, you may not be able to be the number one in the categories, but when you can be number seven in one category and number four in another and number 11 in another, you create a synergy, a sweet spot, a spot in the marketplace, a spot in the public discourse, a spot in the public square that you can own. And when you do that, you are able to solve problems, add value, and envision possibilities at a much more greater level, a much more powerful level. So that's what I want you to really work on is, okay, what kind of a talent catalog can I develop that will allow me to manifest more value for the universe, which means I will manifest more prosperity for myself. And then to go back, to build on what I said earlier, it's really important that we have the eulogy talents in here. The eulogy talents are love, empathy, understanding, integrity, the things people will talk about at your funeral. Say, she was with me at every step of the way. I always knew I could count on her. She was my most loyal friend I've had in the entire life. Those are eulogy talents. And that's the stuff they don't talk about in the MBA programs. That's the stuff they don't talk about in the seminars and workshops. That's the stuff that too often is left out of the personal growth and the self-development books. Is I want you to work on the talent catalog that you create and say, what are the talents that help in tangible business or logical, rational, analytical, any of those kind of categories, improving a process, streamlining a process. If we can show someone how to do something faster, more efficient, with less resources, those are all adding value. But then don't forget the talent, the eulogy talent stuff. I'm going to give you your assignment in a minute. But first, Paula, would you put up the Go link, the URL? This, if you want to support the work, remember, this is a love offering basis. If I'm giving value to you, then please support the work at randygage.com/go. And we kind of have an offering statement there, an affirmation. And that's where you can PayPal, Venmo, debit card, however you like to support the work, you can do it there. So other way you can support the work, and I really beseech you to do that, is to share the show every week. Tell your friends about it. Invite them to get on the live sessions on Saturday. Share the podcast when it comes out. Share the YouTube channel when it comes out so other people spread the message of prosperity. Okay, so here's your assignment. And I will be looking for volunteers next week who are willing to talk about this, okay? Not just Brandon, all right? I want to see, I want to hear from Denis and Gabrielle and Graciela and Agnes and Stefan and Dora and Chris and Napa David, my friend out in California. Dave Simmons, Philip, Eunice, Maritza, Shalina, Mercedes, Faye, Scott, Mark, Marion, Susanna, Rosie, all of you guys. That's your homework, all right? This is what it is. I want you to create your talent catalog and be willing to share that next week, because we want to talk about it. Like, okay, what are some talents that you develop that are, and they may be mechanical skills, right? You may be an amazing electrician. You may be an amazing computer programmer. You may be an amazing juggler, could be physical stuff. You might be a gymnast, right? So you say, well, if you're an amazing gymnast and then you learn the talent of speaking, you might do incredible keynote speeches like Peter Vidmar, right? Or, you know, again, when we put these talents together, stack them up in a catalog, amazing things happen. And then remember, don't forget the eulogy talents. So that's your homework. I really encourage you, set aside an hour, turn off your devices, get yourself a journal, get yourself a cup of coffee or green tea or whatever, and spend an hour thinking about, okay, what is my talent catalog? And what are some talents that I think I want to develop in 2021? All right, next week is going to be a fascinating topic. So tell your friends, call the babysitter, make the plans. We're going to talk about how you make money with your mind. Making money with your mind. So that's the lesson next week. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out. Again, tell your friends, go out and have an amazing week. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the Power Prosperity Podcast. Do me a favor and practice the circulation law of prosperity and tell people about Prosperity TV. So if you would, just put something up on your Tumblr, your Twitter, your Facebook, your YouTube. Let people know what you think of the Power Prosperity Podcast. Even take a screenshot of your phone and maybe post that picture so we can build the community here at the podcast. Thanks, guys.